Access All Areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Access All Areas. I am Stephen Lang.
And I'm Bobby Norris. How are you, babe? I've missed you.
The bitch is back.
She certainly is.
How was Turkey?
Lovely, thank you. Really nice. Was my first time at an airport and on a plane since Miss Rona came about in March 2020.
So, and how was that?
Basically, almost close to the mark of being 2 years. So it was just lovely to see an airport. I think
it's bizarre, though, isn't it? It's such a weird...
To see duty free, to see piles of Toblerone again, which you get at every airport in the land. And just nice to see that we're able to travel again.
So just nice to get out of the country for a bit, then.
Nice to get out of the country. Went for a few days. Had a little procedure done over there. Had a beard transplant done. And...
Looking good.
Thank you, babes. I'm still obviously, this ain't my final result, so to speak. But it was really lovely over there. But I missed you guys.
Glad to have you back, Bob. We had lovely Summer come on and co-host, Summer Monty's Fulham come on last week and co-host with me. And that was great. But not you, is it, Bob?
Not you. It ain't the Bobs. But like you say, bitch is back now. And she's got a new beard.
Looking good. I mean, you got a little while before it's, you know...
Yeah, I'm still very early.
Big and ginger
days,
as mine.
I'll try and catch you up.
Yeah, it was nice having Summer on, a bit different. Because this is actually the first time since you joined the show that I've done it, you haven't been on. So it's a long old time.
Yeah, but I was thinking that last Tuesday, I thought, gosh, I mean, apart from the two Christmases where we've had our Christmas breaks, I've never missed a show. So it's kind of just embedded in me that Tuesdays, which obviously everyone knows we pre-record on a Tuesday, is our lovely FUBAR day. But I was thinking of you out in Turkey.
I'm sure you were. Well, you were having your apple teas and whatever it is they have in Istanbul. Yeah, it was cold. You said.
Yeah. So Istanbul's had quite bad snow. I mean, thankfully where I was, and by the time I got there, it had cleared and it didn't affect me. But you could see it. Like when driving, that land that hadn't been used, and there were certain areas where you could see the snow had been bad. But I think it had really affected them the week prior to me going, to the point I think it was affecting flights and all sorts. So it's actually warmer back here in the UK. But I literally love Turkey. It's just got a lovely vibe, Turkey.
Yeah, yeah. I went as a child, but I've never been back as an adult. I would quite like to. I'd quite like to go. In Istanbul's based. Well, I remember it when I was like 15, but I didn't. You know, wasn't like I was going out and having a rip roaring time. So yeah, I mean, to be honest, I'll take wherever I can go at the minute. You know, so
exactly. But it's definitely somewhere I'll be returning to. Istanbul. I loved it.
Yeah, good to have something to aim for. I'm going to Madrid in 3 months, 2 months, something like that.
Nice.
Yeah, really nice. So I'm hoping that it'll be like, well, I know I went to Malta last year, but yeah, it's me and a couple of the rowers, my new rowing friends, we're going to Madrid.
Oh, nice. Got to go Madrid it up.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been to Madrid. I've done Barca, love Barcelona.
Yeah, they're really, I've been to both, and Madrid is very different to Barcelona.
Oh, is it?
I actually found the people were more friendly in Barcelona. They weren't quite so friendly in Madrid. But when I went to Madrid, it rained constantly. So it was like 4 days of constant heavy rain.
Oh, no.
So I'm hoping that this time round it will be a bit of a nicer experience. It's the only time I've ever been like on a weekend break and it's just been a complete disaster like that. I mean, we still went out and did stuff. Obviously, you don't let it stop you. But, you know, it would have been nice to have had the odd picture where it wasn't, you know, with an umbrella. And yeah, because even in London gets such a bad reputation for these things, but it doesn't rain all the time. It's just grey. No. I think that's the difference in the UK, unless you're up
but
in Scotland.
Something nice when you kind of, and I always say it when I'm in London, and considering it's literally up the road for us, it's there's something very lovely about London when the sun's out. But then equally, even on like a crisp day where it's quite cold, as long as you've got a little bit of sun and it's dry, we'll take that. Do you know what I mean? We are pretty lucky.
Totally agree with you. It's like a completely different city when the sun comes out. But the second it's grey and cloudy like it's been today, nah, hate it, can't stand it. Get me away from this place.
And you're back in the office now, aren't you, full-time?
Yeah, yeah. Well, not full-time, just a couple of days a week. But
And how's the commute? Is it It's pretty much how
busier than it was when I was doing it before. I feel like more and more people are going back, even just a couple of days. And there haven't been any outbreaks of the cove, so all good, no complaints. It's quite nice being back in Camden, I won't lie. Hopefully eventually we can get back in the studio, which is just down the road as well. So
fingers crossed, won't be long, hopefully.
Yeah, so it'll be all completely different kettle of fish, but we'll have to wait and see. Well, we have a really exciting show coming up today. It is Love Island-tastic. We have Priya Gapaldas from Love Island 2021 on opening up the show with us. Then we have Anna, who was on Love Island 2019 with her sister Mandy on to talk about their new podcast. And then we have Drag Race UK's Vanity Milan to close off the show. So nice, busy.
It's a love fest.
It's a love fest, and it'll be a busy one. We've got four guests in the three slots. So lots to chat about. What's been catching your eye in the world of showbiz this week, Bob?
You know me, babes. I love a Kardashian, don't I? Mm. This week we've had quite a heavy week for Kardashian / Jenner news.
Yeah.
So obviously Kylie Jenner, the queen of Instagram, has announced the birth of her little boy in a lovely post with his hand and a blue little love heart.
Yeah, very cute. We're led to believe his name may be Angel, right?
I mean, there's rumours. She hasn't confirmed or denied, but yeah. I think we'll probably have to wait a little while. And I don't know if we'll maybe even have to wait until the new show, which I think premieres quite soon, actually, that they'll be doing. So I think we'll be seeing a lot of that unravel on there. But I'm literally, you know what I'm like? I think I've told you before, I love an even number.
Right.
Which is why I'm all about 2022, and odd numbers really freak me out. I can't have my TV on an odd number. If I'm in a car, it has to be 12 or 14, 6. I can't do odd numbers. It's a little bit of an OCD-ish thing.
Yeah.
His birthday.
Second,
22.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that is, I can't tell you how much that just them twos.
It pleases you, does it, Bob?
And when you say that out loud, I'm sure to some people that probably sounds really strange, but what an amazing birthday. Does that sound? It does sound a bit strange.
I haven't even really given it much thought, Bob, but I mean, yeah, fine. I would
love that to be my birthday. I mean, obviously, I'd love to be older than a week old right now, because it would be a struggle doing this show if I was only probably 4 days old. But I think that, yeah, an iconic birthday. And also, I also think it would have been an iconic day to either get engaged or married. That would be a lovely anniversary.
True, yeah. I mean, and it doesn't happen that often, does it? I guess the 1st of January 2011 would have been. But then even that's got a 2 at the beginning, so it wouldn't be all the ones. I don't know. I thought about it,
which is a little bit of a dark thought, but we'll be dead before we see that again.
Yeah.
The next one will be 3rd of March 3033. And
we'll be long gone by then.
I don't think we're going to be sat here.
No. Do you know what? I'd be a bit depressed if we were still doing this 1,000 years down the line. I'd like to have thought I'd have done something else with my life. But you never know. We never know what medicine's around the corner. But back to the Kylie Jenner stuff. What I did find interesting, actually, and something that kind of I learned from this was that her and Travis don't live together. So they've got two kids together, and apparently they still don't live together.
So, yeah, what's your thoughts on this? Because, I know it's not that common a thing for couples, but I have heard of this before where people are in relationships and spend, like, 3 days apart, 4 days together. And I guess it's a bigger extension of when some people even have separate bedrooms, which in your head you generally think, oh, maybe that's older people. But some people genuinely like their own rooms and their own bathrooms and their own walls. Do you know what I mean?
They like their own. Well, if you're Kylie Jenner, right, you can afford to do that. You can definitely afford to have your own bathroom, your own your own bloody mansion.
Your own whatever you want, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, once you're a billionaire, you're laughing.
Yeah, it's not many choices are kept from you beyond a point of having $1 billion in the bank. I think, I don't know, if it works for the couple, then great. Like, you know, I think a lot of the time, a bit like with like what you said with sharing a bed and stuff, people think that it's like a sign that you're a successful, happy couple, but it could just mean that you don't get a good night's sleep if you're sharing a bed with someone. Do you know what I mean? If you don't have a king or you ever seen the Alaska size beds, which are absolutely huge. Yeah,
where you can roll over about eight times.
Yeah. I mean, unless you've got one like that, you are going to be bumping up against someone in your bed. Is it always worth it if you need to have a good night's sleep, if you've got a high power important job? I don't know.
And I think the thing is, like you say, there's that element. There's also people snoring. If your partner is a terrible snorer, that can affect. I'm a big believer. If you have a terrible night's sleep, that affects your day the next
day.
100%, yeah. If I've had broken sleep, I feel it throughout the following day. So if you're fortunate enough to be able to be in that situation, I generally don't judge something like that. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not for everyone. And also, if depending on people's shifts, what kind of hours you work. If one person does like nights and one's up cracker, and you're passing ships in the wind and someone's disturbing your sleep. Yeah.
I like the idea that Kylie Jenner is the one that's a massive snorer and maybe Travis is the one that's like, no, I can't be doing this, Kylie. So I mean, but congratulations to her though. I mean, that's exciting news. But she's so young as well, isn't she?
So young and so rich.
that leaves me so depressed.
And carrying on with the Jenna Kardashian Claire news, Pete Davidson's officially confirmed that he is Kim Kardashian's boyfriend, which has been rumoured for a little while now. There's been speculation on the old social media. Mm. But he's come out and admitted it. What's your thoughts on it? I mean, I know you're not the biggest Kardashian fan.
I'm interested in the story. I think everyone's been Pete Davidson's girlfriend at some point, though, haven't they? I mean, it went from like Phoebe Dynevor to Kim Kardashian and various Ariana Grande. I think he dated for a while, didn't he? Like he likes a famous lady to date, doesn't he? And he's obviously like a funny guy. I wonder how long she will be his girlfriend and he will be her boyfriend for, but good for them. What do you think?
Can you see it going the distance?
I don't know. Neither of them have got good previous records with that, have they? So, I mean, probably not. I'm gonna put my what is it thing on the line and say maybe not. But I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard one, isn't it? You can look at it two ways. Maybe they're exactly what each other needs and will go the distance and last forever because they've both they're both in a situation now where sometimes, don't they say, the most unlikely couples or people that have had multiple relationships in the past or whatever that haven't worked out do end up going the distance. But I think either way, it's I don't know if there's, because obviously she's going through this divorce with Kanye as well, isn't she?
Yeah, which is starting to get a bit messy as well, it seems, isn't it?
Yeah, it seems like it's getting a little bit messy. And I mean, obviously, I've never been married, let alone divorced. And I don't know if that puts more pressure on your first relationship than you've had post breakup during a divorce.
Mm.
I don't know if that cements you, makes you closer or not, but I guess it's a watch this space. But I know I'll certainly be following the story and I'm sure we'll talk about it until 3033, won't we?
Fingers crossed, no, Bob, but you never know. We did speak about this other news story a little bit when it happened previously, but there's been some texts revealed, some WhatsApp messages revealed between Becky Vardy and a friend of hers, I believe, and Colleen Rooney, about Colleen Rooney, where she called her some unsavory names. And it's all come out as part of this ongoing Agatha Christie court case. So quite interesting. I think. So
what has been confirmed exactly? Because obviously, I guess these texts have had to be announced because it's got to the stage that the case has now. And it seems actually like a million years ago, the old Waggaford Creek. Do you know what I mean? It was such a moment in time.
I think it was 2 years ago. I think it was 2 years ago because I remember still being in the office at the time. So it must have been around about pre-Rona. 2 years ago now. Yeah, definitely pre-Rona. So, yeah, I'm a bit with court case stuff, I'm always a bit dubious by what I say. But yeah, I mean, it definitely seems that, like, Vardy wasn't holding back in her opinions on Colleen, calling her a C-word and all sorts. So,
oh, blimey. Oh, she allegedly dropped the old C-bomb.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I think we might be close to seeing the end of this this case.
And then we can speak about it in detail.
Exactly.
Once it's no longer an ongoing case and we ain't got to worry about having our arses sued, we're laughing.
Yes, and I'm very keen to keep that one up. There was someone else, you know, who has been causing a lot of controversy. Kirsty Allsop. Now, you know her from Location, Location, Location.
Kirsty and Phil.
Yeah, Kirsty and Phil fame. She came out and said that she thinks that people, you know, young people, if they gave up their gym and Netflix subscriptions and stopped buying coffee from, you know, Pret or whatever, or Costa, they could own a house. Now, I don't know what houses she's finding that are costing £30 a month or £50 a month. In deposit. But I don't know, I feel a bit like, I mean, she's obviously very lucky. She comes from a very wealthy aristocratic family. And for her to come out and say, you know, all you gotta do is stop watching, signing up to Netflix and stop going to the gym, which would save me what, £50 a month. And then I could put that in savings, which would be £600 a year, and then turn that by
0.1% interest
on the savings account. So it would take me about 25 years or whatever to save up the minimum like level of deposit. I was very lucky because with my situation, I had a little bit of money from my mum, and it wasn't much. And I saved and I had some myself, but I have a share to buy property. So I actually only put a deposit down on 25% of the value of that. So for Kirsty also to come out and say, you know, it's just this simple thing. I don't know, find that a little bit irritating. Do you think?
I think like you say, I think that the mentality of that would work. If you was potentially saying to save for your first car, or something that you need money for, that you're looking at a few grand, potentially, yes, of course, you can't, if you've got to miss a few nights out, because if you want to get a car, if you want to have driving lessons, for instance.
Yeah, yeah.
I get that, but I don't know how much coffee you're drinking in Starbucks or what gym membership you've got to ever say. If you've never drunk another drop of coffee again, and you never lifted another dumbbell, there ain't a deposit. And I think that goes for, and I mean, obviously, I know where we live down in the southeast, things are extortionately expensive. I mean, some properties like central London, you're talking like millions.
Silly money.
There ain't no more, like, you can't just go up Bradford and Bingley and go, right, I'm not having lattes this month. Can I get a mortgage for 2.4 mil? They'll go, well, actually, no. And cancel that pure gym membership and come back next month and we'll talk about it. But I think it doesn't really work. And also, when you've been on a property ladder for years, as I'm guessing she has, of course, once you're on it and you're making money on a property and then you move on, you're in a different situation. But it's
like hard for her to relate to, like, modern.
And I think it's close to impossible now for young people to get on the ladder, and it's hard enough in a couple. When someone's on their own, you can, well, it's 50% harder still.
So
like I say, I think it's a lovely idea to say tighten the purse strings and save. Like I say, that works if you're trying to buy a little motor or some driving lessons. I don't know if that works for a property.
I think you're probably right, and I'm glad to hear that, Bob. Right, our first guest Priya is here, so let's get her in.
Hello.
Almost.
I'm back.
You're back. How are you doing, Priya? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I've been really well, actually. Yeah, just another long day, but you know, good.
Been keeping busy.
Keeping busy, yeah.
Tell us a little bit. I did a little bit in our intro at the beginning. We obviously will mostly people will know you for Love Island, which was last year, wasn't it? God, I get
so confused
with all the time. The last 2 years is such a
blur.
Yeah, blurred mess in my mind. But now you're on another reality show, aren't you?
I am. Yeah, Eating with My Ex.
Tell us a bit about it. What was that like?
Yeah, it was interesting, to say the least. It was really strange seeing Brett after a while. I mean, yeah, it was very dramatic, considering I feel
dramatic
like...
Dramatic or traumatic?
Dramatic.
Dramatic, okay, good.
Yeah, most slightly traumatic, but not slightly traumatic. It was just weird experience. A lot of unnecessary drama, in my opinion.
How do you find dating on TV? Because it takes it... I mean, I think dating can be hard enough away from cameras. But when there's cameras following you, I've done a few shows. I did Celebs Go Dating a few years ago. And I think one similar chose X in the City, where you're on a date and then an ex walks in. How did you find that? Because are you conscious that the cameras are there?
Yeah, absolutely. And I try to sort of pretend that they're not there. But, you know, when I was on Love Island, I feel like you give it more of a go. Even if you're not really feeling it, you feel the need to try harder just because you're in that situation. And like similarly, on Eating with My Ex, I just felt like, you know, it was, I'd known him for 4 or 5 days, but he had built up all these like emotions, which I didn't realize. And in normal life, I feel like, you know, if you'd known someone for 4 or 5 days, you would just say, you know, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah, move on.
I'll never see you again. But because we had the Love Island experience together, I think there was a lot more feeling there.
And I guess coming from the intensity of the villa of Love Island to then, which is obviously a TV show, to then doing another one, it isn't like you've just gone down the Toby Carvery for and met a couple of times. Do you know what I mean? Because the reality is things wouldn't be that intense, would they, if they hadn't been under them situations and them scenarios you're put in.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like when you're under intense pressure, it either works because you just gel and it takes your relationship from like 0 to 100, or it goes completely the other way around. And with Brett and I, it was like day one was good and it went from like 0 to 50. And then after that, it was just like the pressure was too much. And I just wasn't really feeling it. There was something missing. And then we just lost it. And there was no coming back from that.
Mm. So what made you want to do Eating with My Ex then?
Well, I mean, the opportunity arose. I feel like when Brett and I came out of the villa, we were on speaking terms. I thought we'd establish like a friendship because we get on really well as friends. And I thought we had, I thought it was amicable. We were just going to discuss what had happened in the villa, why things didn't really work out. And it was just going to be sort of just us leaving it as, let's go for a coffee at some point.
Yeah.
And I thought it was just going to be like a nice dinner with a friend, but which I would never say no to. But it turned out to be the opposite.
I'm actually really excited. So these are all on iPlayer for people to watch now, aren't they? I'm actually really keen to... I would watch it. I was going to say I watch it tonight, but the Brits are on tonight, so I might watch that. Around it. But yeah, I mean, it does seem it's like a... For some people, it goes well, this show, and other people not. And you were clearly one of the nots.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's so funny because I've watched the episode back and we're on the same episode as Solomon, who's a Paralympian. And he he proposes to his girlfriend during that episode. So they have like a happy marriage. And then there's me and Brett, who have not seen each other since.
Oh, so they've got the peaks and the troughs.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's a good watch. It's a good watch.
Oh, got to be done. And I think there is something that we're fascinated about. And I don't know what it is, but if you think about it, there's so many dating shows, whether it's First Dates. I think as people, we love to see. But because it's the one thing in life we generally all do is date, isn't it? And meet someone. So I think it's a fascinating watch for people. I mean, obviously a lot more uncomfortable when you're the person sat at the table. Bless you. So I'm guessing moving forward, you two aren't really in communication anymore. There's no WhatsApps between you anymore.
No, none.
Is there a block? What's the situation on social media? Have you blocked him on the gram?
Yeah, I think he said a few, like, he tweeted about me, and I'm not the kind of person that would ever, you know, say anything negative about anyone on social media, no matter what they do. I won't say anything that is horrible towards them, especially not towards a friend. And so he said some stuff about me, and I just thought, don't need the negativity, block, like, delete, well, unfollow. So that's what I did. And yeah, we haven't really spoken since.
Fair enough. Sometimes you just need to move on.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, I knew him for 4 days, so it doesn't really, it's not that bad.
Affecting your day-to-day life. Yeah, fair enough. How do you look back at your Love Island experience?
I think it could have been better, obviously, if I had someone in there who I really fancied and I really got on with, then that would have been ideal. But I feel like I was only in there for a short amount of time. I was the last girl to be dropped in. So that would have been, you know, that would have been an ideal situation, but it was never really going to happen because I was the last girl in there. And it was like 2 weeks before the final. Everyone had formed their couples. And so it was really hard to, you know, explore romantic relationships with anyone else in the villa. And so it was tough, but I actually enjoyed meeting everyone on the show. Everyone was so different and so lovely at the same time. So it was a great experience.
And that's the main thing, isn't it? And once in a lifetime experience as well. And I'm sure you've made some friends for life.
Obviously, exactly. Yeah, not
Brett.
not him. Yeah.
Oh, bless
you. What else have you got coming up this year? Anything exciting? I know you're in medical school, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm in medical school. I'm actually, I'm currently on my psychiatry placement. So I've been in a psychiatric ward all day today. Wow. Which has been so intense. Really, really intense. But yeah, so I'm doing medical school full time. I'm running an ultra marathon in Sri Lanka in March for the NHS. Yeah, so doing that. I've got loads of other fashion and fitness stuff going on. I did a shoot with a couple of with women's running magazine. Sorry, and Asics, which is one of my favourite footwear brands. And so yeah, it's just been incredible to have all of these different opportunities.
A busy girl.
Yeah, really busy.
Yeah, but I'm loving it. I'm loving being busy.
Yeah, you have to. Good for you,
my love.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Priya, thank you so much for joining us this evening. And best of luck with what you've got coming, especially ultra marathon. That's gonna be a big one.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. But if I can handle the villa, I can handle the ultra.
I think they might be slightly different, but you know, I mean, what do I know? How can people watch the show? It's on iPlayer, right?
Yes, it's on iPlayer right now. I think it's the last episode of the series. So yeah, definitely give it a watch. It's great. It's great drama.
Yeah, clearly. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us, hon.
Thank you for having me. Have a lovely evening.
You too. Take care, darling.
Bye.
It's a braver person than I that could do those shows, Bob. I mean, I don't know how you did it when you did your...
I was going to ask, what if you do another one?
I mean, if you had that terrible of an experience, you probably would.
Yeah, it's enough to put you up. But like I say, I think for me, I generally find, and I don't know if other people can relate to this, I do find dating a scary experience.
So to do it on camera.
And then, yeah, throwing a camera crew on top of it and sound and light. And then you've got about 12 people stood around a table for two whilst you're digging into your chicken balls. It adds another element. But hey-ho.
Hey-ho, indeed. Right, well, our second guest, Anna and Mandy, are here. Okay. So let's get them in.
Hey, hello, sorry, not very good at Zoom.
It's all right. We've all had to learn over the last couple of years, and some people are better than others. That's absolutely fine. How are you both?
Good. Sorry, Anna's all glammed up, and I look like a boy, but I had an appointment.
You both look lovely.
Rush back home now.
Honestly, you both look gorgeous. Nothing to worry about. Yeah. How are you both?
We're good, thanks. How are you guys?
Really good. Excited to have you on. I wanted to tell me about this podcast. I find this fascinating. What a great concept.
Thank you. Well, I'll go first. So it's called Sisters in the City. And basically, we're obsessed with Sex in the City. And we're like basically very similar to them because we're in our 30s. Well, she's going to be 30 next week. I'm in my 30s. We're not married. We don't have kids. We don't want to like basically... Do you know when you hit that age where everyone's like, well, when are you going to get married and settle down? We don't want to do that. We're still dating, still figuring ourselves out. We're Middle Eastern, living in like in London.
Yeah, so it's basically, we don't know what the fuck we're doing still. That's why it's really like, but it's interesting.
What we're trying to say is it's okay. And we're just taking everyone along with us on our crazy dramas and just like being very non-filtered and hopefully relatable to some people.
I was just going to say, because I feel you, I'm 35. Do you feel there's a pressure when you kind of get to our age? I know you're a little bit younger than me, but especially when you're at 30, when you are single and you're not married and you haven't got kids, do you think people look at you in a different light? Because I think some people do. I know people said to me, when are you going to get married? When are you going to start a family? I'm like, well, look in the diary, Tuesday 11. Do you know what I mean?
I feel like we're at that age where everyone in our age group is getting married or having kids, and we're just sort of like, hey, I'm getting fucked up this weekend. But like, I think it's important to just not settle, because happily ever after doesn't guarantee a happy ending. Well, yeah, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Marriage and having kids doesn't guarantee a happy ending. It just guarantees an ending to... And you can literally meet the right person at any age. Why do they have to, like, why does it have to be before you're 30?
Yeah, I think especially when you're, like, Middle Eastern cultures as well, there's more pressure, like... There's even more pressure on us to get married and have kids. Oh my God, it's insane. So we're just trying to say, no, you don't need to. It's okay to just be you and live your life spontaneously.
Yeah, you could be dating at any age. Why not?
Do you think, though, like, Anna, you obviously took part in Love Island 2019.
Yeah.
Right? Like, do you think that those kind of shows are part of the problem? Like, they sort of, it's like, if you're not in a couple, then you're not successful. Do you know what I mean? Do you think that that's part of it?
I think the problem with those shows are that there's not more different age ranges. Like, why do they not have, like, dating ranges of, like, up to, like, you know, 50, 60? Why not? Do you know what I mean? I think what it is like, everyone, like, as soon as you hit 30, you're not going to be on Love Island. Why?
Yeah, like, you're too old and wrinkly beyond 30 to be considered lovable.
I just can't believe people go on a TV show and find love and actually last, and we go out every weekend and we still can't find someone. Like, what is going on? Like, what are the chances, what are the odds of going on a TV show and there's people from Love Island that are like married for years? Like,
yeah,
I don't know, they must be some from some outskirts of, like, where there's no pubs or clubs. I just can't get it.
So are either of you dating at the moment? Is there like anyone?
We actually are, to be honest. I don't know why we've been so like pessimistic. So
we are a little bit of a pessimistic when it comes to like men and dating. It's really bad, but I guess it kind of brings a lot of humor into our podcast.
Because, yeah.
But I mean, Mandy's like fully in a relationship now, aren't you?
Yeah, but so are you, Anna. Every time I get into a relationship, Anna just decides to get into a relationship with his best friend.
Yeah, I always get with her guy's mates. It's like a weird thing that happens. But yeah, it's very fresh at the moment.
Yeah, but I feel like when you've been in so many relationships, you're just a bit more realistic about it as well. It's like, you know.
And have you both been in like a lot of relationships? Is that like part of the deal with the podcast? Are you talking about stuff like that?
we've got so much experience, like we made loads of mistakes, and I feel like it's just fun to share it with everyone. When people think that just because you've been on TV or you're in the public eye, you don't have these, like you don't make these mistakes or these dramas don't happen in your life, but we have so much, and we just want people to know that, like, we're just like you, we're just, yeah, like, everyone, just like
everyone else. And I feel like the more experience you have, like the more better advice you can give, the more wiser you are, like when it comes to relationships. Even if you've got like 10 failed relationships, like you probably know more than someone that's had like one successful.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, I agree. I think as well, the benefit of being older and being single and having relationships that haven't worked out is, I mean, I can't speak for it, for me personally, I'm at a stage where I kind of know what I want from a relationship now, which I genuinely couldn't have said hand on heart in my early 20s or even late 20s. I couldn't have told you that. Do you know what I mean? I know what I want. And I think sometimes you have to find it. This sounds so cheese on toast, but you kind of got to find yourself and know yourself, haven't you, before you move on to be with someone else and have that relationship. Exactly.
We're older now. We know what we want. No more faking orgasms.
I also think you realise as well that, like, I mean, I'm like long-term single, I guess. You, like, the person that you get with has to add to your life and not take away. Like, I feel like that's the key thing I've learned.
Exactly. It's so important. Yeah, I feel like when you get older, you become way more fussy. Like, you become more happy on your own, and so you won't be with someone that's going to drain you. There's no way.
Yeah, and I think the key is, don't even see it that you're being fussy. Just see it as that you're knowing someone's got to bring something to the table, and that does, I don't mean financially by that, but you want someone, as Steve says, add to your life, because when you've got someone that's just taking, I don't know how you're ever going to move forward with that as a relationship. You've kind of got to, whatever you both bring to the party, you've mm-hmm. both got to bring something. Do you know what I mean?
And then we talk a lot about relationships, but we talk about everything.
We talk about like sex, relationships, we talk about food, money, being in the city, London, like partying, everything. Being Middle Eastern as well is like another thing, because we have like a different side to us, I think, that we
can. We were born in London, but our parents are like very Iranian. So.
What does that mean?
They're just like,
listen to Sisters in the City. Yeah, listen to your episode podcast. Episode 2 is all about growing up as Middle Easterns in London.
Yeah.
And it's really,
like, you basically, like, let's give an example. You're dating a guy and then your mom just thinks immediately, like, you're going to marry him. Like, she thinks, right,
or like certain Middle Eastern men won't want to, like, marry you because you're not a virgin and stuff like that. It's like different things that we experience.
They're quite kind of conservative.
We are screwed, culture,
and well, this is what parents of any background do to their kids. You know, they screw them up. So, do they listen? Do your parents listen to the podcast?
I mean, I hope not.
I mean, my dad isn't just about knows how to use an iPhone, so I don't think he would be. But my mum's been asking me, like, how do I listen to the podcast?
And we've been like, oh, mum, it's really super complicated. You have to subscribe to loads of different things and make an account. Don't worry about it. So, fingers crossed.
You don't want mum hearing.
No. I feel like Anna pretended to be a virgin until she was like 28 or something.
Yeah.
no, definitely not.
So you both mentioned that you're dating semi-seriously.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in a relationship now. It's serious. But I mean, Anna, I think Anna is as well. I don't know. They just break up every week.
That's the thing. You know, all that stuff that we say about how we should like be with someone that makes you a better person, all that, it's easy to say, but when you're in that situation, no matter what age, you can end up in these like toxic relationships. Mm. You know what I mean? And it's really hard. But I guess I am.
We are with someone. Yeah. We're both
relationships. What do they think of the podcast? Have they listened
to
it?
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, the first episode, she kind of fell out with her guy at a point. Yeah. He, like, misunderstood what she said because she was talking about getting good dick. And, like, it was some...
it was recorded. It was so fucked up because it was released recently, but it was recorded, like, when I first...
Before, right.
And I was talking about how I've been, like, cursed with all the shit dick I've had and only recently is looking up. But it came out, like, now... Yeah.
It was a pilot and we recorded it in July and she was like, oh, I've been cursed with bad dick.
Yeah.
And I was like, babe, I wasn't talking about you. But them few days in this house was terrible because it was just like, oh, it was.
And then also the other episodes, I'm just talking about all this experience I've had. And obviously like around him, I'm just making out like I'm like super like innocent. So
So I've got to ask you, you mentioned that you've been cursed with bad dick. What's your definition of bad dick?
Okay, so I'm not even joking, yeah. Before I met my boyfriend, I had like four guys in a row, like three of them couldn't get it up. And then one of them, like, I touched his dick and he just spunked everywhere. So like, I was like, I've definitely been cursed. But then I met my boyfriend, I was like, thank God, I'm not.
You're just so hot that they just couldn't control themselves.
I was like, the first three really fucking ruined my whole like ego, killed my self-esteem. And then the last one, like, just gave it the biggest a boost that I didn't want. Like, it was too much of a boost.
Straight from one end of the scale to the other.
She thinks her ex-boyfriend did juju. I thought he cursed me at that point. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Because like in our culture, we have like this like bad energy thing that people...
Yeah, like the evil eye.
That's I know it sounds superstitious, but it's like...
Yeah, but thank
like
God.
For example, if I want to get rid of like, I want to get rid of my ex-boyfriend, I wrote his name on a piece of paper and I put it in the freezer and... They must think it's really weird. Yeah. It worked. Anyway, my ex-boyfriend was not sitting around candles and burning pictures of dildos and penises. He wasn't doing that. It was just bad luck.
I'm fascinated. So what happens when you write down your ex's name and you put it in the freezer? What happens then?
They disappear. They're meant to disappear. It's like some like...
It's not like a murder.
It's like they disappear from... They're no longer interested in you. Yeah. Because he was just harassing you.
Why the freezer?
I don't know. My mom told me about it.
I'm going to try and do that with Barclays, see if it works, because they always ask me for money.
Your credit card report. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. Annie, you've spoken a bit about getting, like, reversing some surgery and things like that, haven't you? And I've actually noticed it's become a bit of a thing with a lot of people who've been on Love Island, sort of reversing stuff they've done or talking about them regretting. How do you feel about all of that now?
So basically, I mean, the article did kind of blow it out of proportion. I'm not like reversing those surgeries, but what it is I'm going more towards like a natural look. When I was on in the villa,
and it's so funny, you're just sitting there like, oh,
I'm wearing makeup. I'm going natural look. As in, like, I was pumped up with a lot of fillers.
Right, yeah.
And like my hair was like jet black, and I mean, I just felt like, as in, my hair is more. I mean, I'm more naturally towards blonde than black.
Yeah, you're trying to be me.
And like, basically, my boobs were like humongous, and we reduced our boobs.
Well, I don't know. I paid for a reduction, but it isn't reduced.
Yeah, like, I don't know. Our surgeon kind of like, I don't know what he was thinking. He didn't make it small enough. But we wanted to go more like a natural boob size. And like, I basically, most of my fillers are gone. I'm going more towards like the way I used to look, my face.
But why do you think this has suddenly become a thing that people were keen on doing?
You know what, I think it's really bad that everyone, it probably is a trend, but it's a good trend, I think, right now, that everyone's going more towards a natural look. But I think at that point it was like a trend to have crazy fillers, and like everyone was just jumping on it, and you just followed the crowd. And I think we wanted to be more sexy, get bigger boobs, and it was like a mistake, I'd say, on our side to just follow the trend, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Which sounds weird to say, because it was like we're following the trend now, going more natural. But it's just genuinely, I just feel like I look better. This is that trend to follow. Yeah. That's why I'm here with no makeup on. Just following the trend.
Yeah,
you know, before you'd be so scared to go in front of cameras with no makeup and stuff. Like, now everyone's more accepting of the way they are. And I love that.
Yeah. That's God, I look like a hectagon. Like, my face was like so filled. I was like, there's actually, when Anna came out of Love Island, I went to the After Sun, and there's like an, there's an article about me, like, Anna Vakili's sister looks like she's been stung by bees.
But it's so mean, isn't it?
It's so cruel.
So mean.
That's actually true. I'm glad they did that.
So it's both. It is mean and also true. So it's a bit of a difficult balance.
The sun saved my life.
Well, thanks so much for joining us this evening, ladies. What the name of the podcast again?
Sisters in the City.
Sisters in the City. Well, yeah, make sure to check that out. Thank you so much for being so candid and for being with us this evening. Really appreciate
it. Thank you guys for having us.
You're welcome. Thank you for joining us. Bye, darlings.
Bye.
Bye. Such good energy, those two. Love it.
Absolutely.
And you're part of this thing now, getting rid of your fillers, aren't you, Bob?
Yes, well, I did mine at the start of the year. I had them all removed. And I was just thinking when I was listening to Anna speak there as well, I wonder if, because I'd been thinking about it for a while, and she was saying that it's now, as we're seeing, it's becoming slightly a trend for people to do it. I wonder if being in lockdowns for so long and life changing. We've all just stepped back and looked at ourselves differently. Because not only could we not go and have any more topped up and done, I just think we've seen things different. I think whatever makes someone happy, like I've always said, like if you want your fillers, go for it. Oh, if you don't, you don't.
Yeah, it really is completely up to you, isn't it?
And I'm natural Norris now, babes.
Yeah, I like it. Natural Norris. Good one. Right, our final guest, Vanity Milan from Drag Race UK Series 3 is here.
Perfect.
Hello.
Hello, Vanity.
Hello.
Oh, my goodness. You look stunning.
Thank you very much. I said that before I came on camera. I was like, bitch, I look good.
We had Ella on last week, and she was fully turned out as well. We love it when the queens come on in the full drag.
Oh, you know what? Sometimes, whether you're getting paid or not, it's good to look good.
This is very true. You never know where these videos may end up, Vanity. Exactly. You know what I mean?
And I heard it's going on Instagram, and that's where I like to be.
How have you been?
I've been really good. I've been in hiding for a little bit. I'm working on like music. I'm working on like some tours and some other things that I can't say. But I've been really good after the show. I can't complain.
You definitely came off it well. Right. And that's kind of what you want, because I guess once you finish recording it, it's kind of in the hands of the gods after that, isn't it? You don't know how you're going to come
off. You never know how it's going to be edited. You don't know how it's going to be, how you're going to be portrayed. So it's definitely, I did come out really good. I did come out portrayed as, you know, a really nice person, but also a very bad bitch. And I love it. I'm here for it.
You can be both those things.
Exactly.
And talking of the edit of the show, watching it back, do you, because obviously things have to get edited, otherwise the series would take 2 years
never
to
ending,
watch,
yeah.
Wouldn't it? But when you watch it now through the eyes of on the screen, do you kind of think, oh, that's not how it was, or is everything pretty much bang on?
It's pretty much bang on. I just wish that they would have shown a little bit more of my personality, because I am a little fun, bubbly bitch. But yeah, like it is pretty bang on in how we filmed it. There was no really bad edit of anybody, to be honest with you. It was how it was.
I think season 3 of UK, season was kind of almost like a bit of an anomaly in that everyone was like just really wanted to be there and enjoyed it. There wasn't a huge amount of that sort of super bitchiness. Yeah.
Well, you have to understand that we did this during a pandemic where we wasn't allowed to hug and touch and meet family members. So when we came together, it was almost just like seeing people for the first time. So it was more love than it was hate. Because again, if we probably would have not been in the pandemic and been in lockdown while we were filming, I think it would have been more competitive, because we probably would have been out there a lot more in the public eye doing our normal shows, and then, you know, being hid away, doing the show, coming back, and not being in lockdown. So I think that was a little bit more like, oh my God, I can actually touch and hug people because we've been in the same circumstances, we're in the same bubble.
And how are things now? Are you all very much close? Is this friendships for life, all of you?
Yes, most definitely. I call them like my sisters for life, because I've never really had so much drag queen girls that I can call and text on a daily basis and be like, girl, listen, what's going on? Should we go for dinner? So yeah, it's a sisterhood. We love each other very dearly. But you know, sometimes sisters do fight sometimes.
Cool.
Yeah.
You know, we always come back together because we're a family.
Yeah. And that's a lovely way to look at it. Like I say, even the closest of friends have disagreements. All relationships, don't know, whether it's a relationship or friendship, that's just natural. But
yeah,
you've gone through an experience that no one will ever understand. Even people that have done other series and will do series down the line, the one you do, no one will ever understand. So you form a, not a bubble in a COVID. It's a bond.
You said it perfectly. I think because no one went through what we went through, no one can actually tell us about our experience. And I think that was one of the good things that we kind of came together and said, like, no one can ever take this experience away from us, whether it was good, whether it was bad, because we went through it together. And that's, you know, the bond that we formed is very strong.
And tell us a little bit about your music career.
Well, I've been wanting to do music for a very long time, and this was even before Drag Race, but I never had, you know, the connections to do it. And I think this has given me a very good platform to kind of meet, you know, producers and writers and, you know, speak to people about what it is that I would like to do. You know, again, like I said, my background is very performance-based, music-based, and like I come from a line of like musicians in my family, on my mom's side of the family, which is really amazing. So it's like, you know, I'm tapping into that music side of me. I feel like, you know, I'm the UK Nicki Minaj, if you'd like to call me that.
Oh, I mean, you're not messing around with that, are you? Wow.
I don't come to play, like, straight out the gate. I said, I'm the best to ever do this. So, you know, if you can't big yourself up, how in the hell are you going to big somebody else up? Can I get an amen?
Amen. Amen, sis. Totally with you on that. So you've got your first single came out last week. I'm trying to work out the time.
Yeah, last week, the 29th of last week.
And are you pleased with the reception?
Yes. Oh my God. I was really nervous to release it because I was also releasing it the day I was performing it live. So there was just a lot of emotions going on in that day. So I was like, I don't know if people are going to like it. I think people are going to hate it. I think people are going to think I'm really shady. But you know what? When I released it, the reception was so amazing. A lot of the fans really enjoyed it. And then I got just, you know, a certified bop. I was top 20 in the rap charts in the UK.
Amazing.
I don't know how that's possible. Well done. But I was like, what? Top 20?
Love that. Iconic.
Iconic status.
And how have you found social media since the show? Because obviously it's put you on such a profile and given you such a platform.
Yeah, I mean, it's a blessing and it's a curse. You know, you get the good days, you get the bad days. But after the show, I think it's a lot more love than it is hate. You know, when you're on the show, people don't like what you do. But after the show, people then start to see the growth and start to see the development into like a beautiful drag career that you have. And I think that's the most important thing that I pay attention to when it comes to my social media, is the people that follow me are the people that love me. And the naysayers and the negative comments, well, I don't really pay attention to that. So
you're not one for clapping back?
Oh no, I clap back. But in a nice, respectful way.
Yes, I'm sure. And
I know that people really don't understand what people go through on a daily basis. No, I clap the fuck back. I give it to them. Okay, I will tell you about everything in the whole entire sun. Don't play with me on my social media. On somebody else's social media, when you at me, I'm like, it's okay. But on mine, don't play with me.
So what kind of thing, what do you notice most? What's the, like, when the trolls are out, what's the one thing that repeats itself? What do you get?
It's more about my makeup. And I'm like, excuse me, do you not fucking see me from the show till now? Bastard and Greasy Wear. This makeup is sitting.
Flawless.
It is stunning.
You're beat, bitch.
And I'm beat for the gods, okay? And no one can't tell me anything. But it would be probably like, yeah, you know, the makeup, the style. Obviously, my husband does a lot of my costumes. And it's like, I get a lot of those comments like, can you not do anything yourself? Everything is done by somebody else. No, my husband doesn't do my makeup. I do my makeup. Mm-hmm. My husband doesn't sing my songs. I sing my songs. I write my lyrics. I find people. I do this all myself. And it's me and my husband. We're a team. So that's what I get a lot attacked on a lot about on social media. But, you know, goes over there.
It's a strange, aren't they? I mean, why do they care? I never have been able to understand why a hater and a troll does what they do. What goes on in that sad little head of theirs, I'll never know.
No, we just call them keyboard warriors and we let them stay to what they're doing, because at the end of the day, while we sit here and make money and give people the content that they want, they're not giving anybody anything else.
They can sit under their bridges.
Very true. I love that. And you've got some tours coming up as well, right?
I do. So in March, I'm doing the Pick and Mix tour. I shouldn't say this, but you get the exclusive. My tour is coming out. My solo tour is coming out at the end of May into April. Awesome. And then a lot of tours are coming up with my management company, my life booking management. So yeah, a lot of things are coming up, a lot of tours, a lot of music. There may be an EP involved, you know. Ooh. I don't play 12 songs for nothing.
But that's so exciting. And that doesn't happen to every queen that comes off the show, right?
No, it doesn't. And, you know, it depends on what you do after the show that counts. I think if you really want to make a name for yourself and you've got that platform to do it, then I think just working really hard is definitely something that you should do in order to keep your name alive and also to continue to spread that message about what it is that you would like to do, and continue, because I like to continue to uplift people around me and bring people with me as well, because that's how I was brought up.
So 2022, busy year, babe.
Oh, trust me, I'm going to hit the ground running.
Yeah,
busy. You already bitch. Are.
I'm a busy bitch.
That's how we like it, though. That's how we like it.
I mean, if I'm sitting around doing nothing, I'm a little bit like, what the hell should I do? And I get on the laptop and I start creating drama with management companies. I'm like, what the hell are we doing now? Like, you have to relax. And I'm like, well, I'm sitting in the house for 5 days. So I've got the single. Let's work.
Let's move. Yeah. Let's
move.
Into it. And of all of the queens that you were with on your series, which ones are you the biggest fan of? Are you hanging out with the most?
All of them. You're not going to catch me on that one.
Come on.
You're not going to catch me on that one.
Come on. Nicki Minaj would give me names.
No, she wouldn't. Listen, I'm close with all of them, whether it's we don't see each other on a daily basis, because you know that Teresa lives in Newcastle and she's away. So like we're texting, we have a group chat. So we're all, you know, in the same thing, talking with each other on a daily basis. Yes, I probably do spend a little bit more time with Ella and Kitty and Crystal because of, you know, the top fourness. But when we get with each other, it's like we're back on set with each other. So it's a happy family. I'm like the auntie of the family where, you know, I'm cooking everyone dirty rice and giving them the best time of their life. But yeah.
Shit ever popped off in the WhatsApp group, right? Has anyone gone, right, exit group?
No.
Never.
No,
we're not season two. And then like 2 days later, they DM the person.
Sorry, did you just say you're not season two?
No, we're full of love. We're full of love in season three. Don't come for me, season two. I love all of you in season two. However, we're season three and we love each other.
Love it. Obsessed.
I mean, Element said something different last week. I don't know. I didn't watch the show, but it's different.
just quickly before we let you go, what do you make of UK versus the world?
I'm here for it. Because you know they filmed, I don't mean, this is another exclusive, they filmed literally a day after us.
Yeah, yes.
But yeah. They literally shipped us out and moved the new girls in. So I was really excited to know who was on the show. And when I found out, I was like, I am here for the show. However, more representation for the UK because we are diverse in our drag community. That's all I say.
Yes, it's a good point. And that was a point with your series as well. Wasn't it? So, I guess we'll have to wait till season four.
Hopefully season four is just full of all diverse, unique drag kings, queens, and everybody in betweens.
We can but hope. Your new single, Miss Milan, is out now. Thank you so much for joining us, Stephen. Really appreciate
it. Thank you so much for having me.
And good luck with everything you've got coming up.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Have a lovely evening.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Bye, darling. Bye. Obsessed with that executive realness look with the
I know, power blazer,
yeah, and all the jewelry,
shower pads,
love it, yeah. Love it, obsessed.
Absolutely.
Well, and three, such good energy this evening. I feel like just three really, really with it and up for a good chat guests, which is
lovely.
Great.
First show back,
yeah,
lovely guests, lovely to see your little face.
I mean, it feels like quite a big face at the moment, Bob, but I'll take it anyway. What have you got coming up this week? Anything exciting?
Bits and bobs, babes. It's one of them weeks, you know, where it's kind of like a busy week, but nothing exciting. It's kind of life admin stuff that's been done. There's a paperwork stuff. There's I's to dot and T's to cross and all that
jazz. That's it. Yeah, that's the one.
How about you? I've got what's the rowing. Is the rowing still going on?
The rowing's been cancelled the last two weekends because of bloody wind. So you can't go out on the water when it's too windy. But I have been going to quite a few little gym classes. Nice. And I'm going to keep that up this week. I've got my friend who's currently got COVID and is out of isolation on Friday is having a big birthday party on Saturday. So we've got that to look forward to this weekend. Although I'm still off the drink, so I don't know. Maybe I'll drink, maybe I won't. We'll see.
Play it by ear, babes. Exactly. You was going to do the 100 day, but if you do have a drink, just tell yourself, well, I did try January.
Exactly. I'm in two minds.
You've still done amazing. I mean, you would have done what, 2 weeks of February by the weekend, would it be?
Yeah, you've done two weeks
longer than Dry Jones. If you want yourself a little wine, have it.
Yeah.
Kylie would want you to.
The thing is it's never just one little wine, is it? It's always
if you're having one, you might as well have two or three. Do you know what I mean? Because if you're going to break the 100 days, break it, mate.
Yeah,
but do it for Miss Minogue.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. We'll see. all right. Well, great show. Great to have you back, Bob. And until next week, goodbye.
Bye, guys.